Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, specifically verse 34. We concluded our study of Jeremiah, and we'll finish up Lamentations this Wednesday night, Lord willing. What we see from our study of Jeremiah, we see the nature of God, and we see God pleading to His people through Jeremiah to repent or face His judgment. But despite the heavy emphasis on judgment throughout the book, Jeremiah's chapter 30 through 33 describe the glorious promise of a future redemption. So God will restore His people to the land and establish a new covenant with them. A new covenant provided through a descendant of David. And God will rule over His people in righteousness and do away with their sin and write His law on their hearts. Jeremiah's prophetic ministry proclaimed God's judgment and God's promise of peace. The anguish of Jeremiah that we can read about conveys the anguish of God at the sin of the people of Judah and Israel, God's chosen people. They had strayed so far, but the way Jeremiah responded to it with anger and tears and strong words conveys God's response to what they had done and to their situation. See, the way the people of God live in the world elicits responses from God. Delight or displeasure, mercy, and judgment. Jeremiah teaches us, among many things, that God is deeply vested in His creation and in the well-being of His people. The world matters to God. And our single individual lives matter to God. Amen. Neither is too large or too small for Him, because God made it all. Amen. We see God's judgment in response to Israel's sin, because sin is serious and sin has consequences. Yet the words that God shows us in the book of Jeremiah in 30 through 33, and even at the conclusion of the entire book, is really one of promise. It's hope and the promise of a new covenant, where God's people will have the law written on their hearts. You can see Jesus in Jeremiah. So Jeremiah wept. He wept a lot at the hard-heartedness of the people of Judah and Israel. And Jesus, He felt a whole host of emotions as well at the sight of sin and hard-heartedness. Jeremiah's consciousness was invaded by God as a prophet given words by God to speak to the people. But Jesus is God. He is God incarnate. God as a human being. Jeremiah came to pronounce God's judgment over the people and witness and suffer with the people in their being conquered and exiled from Judah. Jesus came to proclaim God's judgment, but He absorbed that judgment on His own body, His own being, and in His suffering and death, He bore that judgment and the consequences of our sin. See, the new covenant promised in Jeremiah chapter 31 is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. With his blood, through his death on the cross, Jesus establishes this new covenant. So in Jeremiah 31, verses 33, there's several things that you should notice that God says about this new covenant. The first is, under the new covenant, God's law will be written on our hearts. In verse 33, God said, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." See, God didn't just give us a new set of laws that were better than the old laws. He promised that we could have a changed heart. This new covenant brings inner transformation, so that the law of God is no longer just a list of rules. God intended to change our hearts. The new covenant doesn't just do away with the concept of God's law. Instead, it makes God's law even more important by setting it on our hearts instead of a stone tablet or just a written page. If we love our God, we will keep his commandments. And Jesus knew that law and love go hand in hand. Second point that's called out there is, under the new covenant, we will all know God. He continues on and says, Scripture says, "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Starting in verse 34. "No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord." This new covenant brings a new relationship with God. Under the new covenant, we are connected to God and we can have a close personal relationship with him in a way that wasn't available under that old covenant. In the Old Testament, you don't see this kind of close relationship between the Israelites and God. God was separated from the people in the temple. For Abraham to know God and for Moses to converse with God in the way that they did was revolutionary. It was just a glimpse of what God intended to have with all his people under the new covenant. And this new covenant is not one of just reverent distance. It's one of intimate closeness. We come to God through Jesus, and we move forward in an ever-increasing knowledge. We can grow into a deep familiarity with the person of Jesus. So under the new covenant, we can know God and have a relationship with him. And finally, under the new covenant, God forgives our sin. Continues in verse 34. "For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." And this is what makes all the difference in the world between the old and the new covenant. The new covenant brings true cleansing from sin. The sacrificial system under the old covenant can only cover sin and its guilt. The new covenant brings forgiveness so complete that it can be said that God no longer remembers the sin of those connected with him through the new covenant. And what an amazing truth that God can cause himself to forget. We may still be haunted by sin that changed the course of our lives, but God looks at us and says, "I don't see any of it." It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees us not with the filth of what we have done, but with the purity of Jesus. Amen. So as we partake of these elements of the Lord's Supper, we can thank God for our Savior's humanity. We can thank him for his sacrificial death on the cross and for his purity. Amen. because we recognize apart from that sacrificial death, we could have no hope for forgiveness of our sins. So in eating it and drinking it, we are partaking and celebrating God's goodness and the new covenant written and paid for by our Savior's blood and body. Amen.